Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyu. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We commit ourselves into your hands. We ask that you speak to us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help us today. I pray in the name of Jesus for revelation, for understanding, for knowledge, for wisdom, for insight. May we be transformed today through your word. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Turn your Bibles with me, please, to Philippians chapter 2, reading from verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2 and reading from verse number 5. That's what the Bible says. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, everybody say, therefore.
Therefore.
Say it again, therefore.
Therefore.
Therefore, God elevated him to a place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that are the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Hallelujah. So for the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at becoming more like Jesus, stepping into divine elevation. Now, becoming more like Jesus has a lot of benefits that it brings to you and I. Becoming more like Jesus has great blessings that we can experience. And one of them is the blessing of divine elevation. Divine elevation. To be elevated means to be moved or raised up to a higher place or position. To be elevated means to be lifted up. And to be elevated means to be exalted or promoted to a higher state, rank, or office. So divine elevation is where God is lifting you up. God is promoting you. And God is setting you on high. And I believe that God is going to lift somebody up in this season.
Amen.
I believe that God is going to set somebody high up in this era of your life. in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now we see of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our perfect example, that God highly elevated him. Now, divine elevation does not just happen in a vacuum. There are certain things that bring about divine elevation. And when we look at Jesus, we are able to identify certain steps that led to his divine elevation. He is our perfect example. And when we become more like him, then certain blessings he enjoyed, we will experience as well. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, in verse 9 of Philippians chapter 2,
it
starts with the word therefore. Therefore means as a result of. It means in consequence of. So it went on to say, therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor, which means that he was divinely elevated. But the therefore reveals to us that there are certain things, or there's something that was spoken about earlier, that we must connect to his divine elevation. And so we see from verse 5 to 8 of Philippians chapter
2
that there are certain steps that Jesus took. There are certain things that Jesus did which culminated in his divine elevation. If you and I are believing God to lift us up, and you must desire to be lifted up in this life. Did you hear me? I said you must desire to be lifted up in this life. Don't be satisfied to stay where you are in life. You are the child of the living God. And Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is your senior brother. And the Bible says we are seated with him in heavenly places, which means that everything that he enjoys, we have a share of it. And don't make the mistake of thinking that there are certain good things that will only happen to you, or that can only happen to you when you get to heaven. The exciting news that I have for you, my brother, my sister, is that there are so many blessings that God has in store for us, which we must experience and enjoy right here on earth. May we not end up in heaven with a lot of regrets.
Amen.
To get there and have revealed to us that God had all these wonderful blessings packaged for us, but we never enjoyed them. We never experienced them. We lived a difficult and a frustrating life, all because we did not have the knowledge and the faith and the wisdom to assess everything that God had in store for us. So as I share with you about divine elevation, believe it with all your heart that it is your portion as well. Even if in your family line there is nobody who has been highly raised up or promoted or elevated, tell yourself that a new generation is starting with you. You may say to me, Pastor, it's not possible. My response is this: what is not possible unto man, with God is possible. For with God all things are possible. If I give you an opportunity, I'm sure you tell me about a whole host of things that are not working in your favor. I don't come from a good family. I don't come from a rich home. And Ghanaians, we like to say that I come from a humble background. That means that I am poor. You want to say that I didn't go to school, you know, I didn't have a good education. You may tell yourself, or you may say to me, that I don't have any great person in my family. I don't have any uncle in Dusseldorf or in Ottawa or in New Orleans who will tell me that my nephew, I'm making arrangements, I'm filing for you so that you come and join me in the U.S. Do you have anybody in the U.S.? I am asking you a question. And even if you have somebody there, do you actually think that the person is thinking about you? You think that the person is actually thinking about you? What has happened to all the promises he made to you? Are you forgotten that he made certain promises to you? My friend, let's stop putting our trust in men. And let's stop leaning on the arm of flesh. We will only be setting ourselves up for a major disappointment. But I know somebody whose promises concerning you and I are yea and amen. He is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and shall he not do it? Has he promised and shall he not make good? I know somebody whose word never fails. He says heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never fail. And this God that I'm recommending to you, he does not have a history or a record of failure. Jesus hasn't failed you yet, and he is not about to do that. If you believe it, raise your voice and give the Lord a shout of glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Believe it.
GT.
God wants to lift you up. And he wants to make something beautiful out of your life. Something glorious out of you. You may not look much today, but you are still, as I like to inform you, work in progress. And you are still very much in God's timetable. And there's something that he's doing with you, and he's doing in your life. If you look at yourself with all your challenges, with all your struggles, it is hard to fathom that God is actually interested in you. But he is. He's interested in you. From the time you surrendered your life to Jesus, you've been special to him. His eye is always watch over you. There's nothing that you go through, that you experience, that he doesn't know about. And he has plans concerning you. I'm announcing to you that God's plans for you are very much on course.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So then, how was Jesus highly elevated? What steps led to his high elevation? The first one that I shared with you was this thing about him, his attitude. His attitude. And I've explained to you that we must also develop good attitudes. The Bible says we must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Now, because he was highly elevated, it suggests to us that he must have had a good attitude. Because good attitudes lead to elevation. Bad attitudes lead to demotion. And there are good attitudes. And there are bad attitudes. Your attitude is the way you think. Your orientation or your disposition. It has to do with your mind, how it works. How your mind works affects your behavior. It affects your manner, your character, your position. So don't play with your mind. And that's why you must feed your mind with good things. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So the way your mind works determines a lot of things about you. And one of the ways of describing a person's mindset is to talk about his or her attitude. People who are highly elevated, you will discover that they've developed a lot of good attitudes. They are focused. They are determined. They are committed. And we see this with Jesus Christ. He was focused on his mission. He was determined to carry out his assignment. He was committed to what the Father had sent him to the earth to do. And he did not allow anybody or anything to take him off course. Other good attitudes we can talk about. Attitude of hope. Attitude of positivity. An attitude that says, I can do it. I can make it. I can get there. It can be better. In contrast, we have negative attitudes. Negative attitudes of hopelessness. Of pessimism. An attitude of, I don't think it will work. An attitude of, I don't think it's possible. An attitude of, where I come from, it cannot be done.
So,
these are all negative attitudes. And I want us to allow the Holy Spirit to work on our attitudes. To help us deal with the negative ones. And then help us to enhance the positive ones. And as we develop these good attitudes, God is going to lift us up in this life. Did I hear somebody say amen?
Amen.
Number two, stepping into divine promotion. I mean divine elevation. We must be prepared to lose so as to gain. We must be prepared to lose so as to gain. You see in Philippians 2:6-7, talking about Jesus, that though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He gave up his divine privileges. Jesus had to lose certain things in order to gain other things. And in life, often, that is how things play out. You got to lose before you gain. Or you got to pay a price before you see certain results. So it's been said that no pain, no gain. If you don't pay the price, If you're not prepared to go through certain things, if you're not willing to endure losses for a season of your life, then you cannot experience gain in the latter stage of your life. Jesus did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Sometimes in life we get too attached to things. But these may be things that God wants us to give up so that he can lift us up. And I want to submit to you, my friend, that in this Christian experience, to be able to follow God properly, to get to where God wants you to be, to experience divine elevation, there are certain losses you will have to incur. And if you don't incur those losses, you cannot get to where God wants you to be. That is the fact of the matter. In Mark chapter 10, verse 28 to 30. Jesus preached a message one day. And then he said, how hardly is it for rich people to enter into the kingdom of heaven? He said that it is as difficult as a camel trying to enter the eye of a needle. When he said that, the people around said, "Ewo, who can be saved? Who can be saved?" And Jesus explained to them, with God, it is possible. It was after this that Peter spoke up. Because I think Peter was thinking very much about his life and everything that he had given up to follow Christ. So he said to Jesus, "We have given up everything to follow you," he said. And Jesus responded and said, "Yes, you have." And now he goes on to give him an assurance. He said to him, "And I assure you that everyone who has given up," that everyone who has given up, to give up means to lose. So in other words, everyone who has lost, then now he begins to mention a whole host of things. You've lost house, brothers, sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or property for my sake and for the good news, will receive now in return." That means in this life. So that thing that people say, your reward is in heaven, there are rewards for you to experience right here on earth. And if I were you, I would check in into those rewards. I would cash that check and experience those rewards whilst here on earth. I don't want to wait to get to heaven before I see certain things. I want to experience them right here on earth. Lift up your right hand and say with me, "By the grace of God, every blessing, every reward, every good thing that God has for me in this life, right here on earth, I will receive them. I will experience them. I will enjoy them in the mighty name of Jesus." Put your hands together for Jesus and bless his name. Bible says we'll receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property, along with persecution. That part we don't like, but it is part of the story. Because serving God and walking on the narrow path, it comes with a lot of persecution. As long as we are here on earth and we are committed to serving God and doing what he wants us to do, definitely we'll go through some persecution. But don't worry, Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you have already overcome. So be thou of good cheer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And concludes and says, and in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. Jesus was explaining to Peter, and by extension to all of us, that serving him, following him, trying to obey God, will come at a price. We will experience loss. We may have to give up certain things. We may have to give up certain relationships in order to serve God properly, in order to follow Him well, in order to be what God wants us to be. Now, it is very difficult sometimes to let go of certain things, to let go of certain people, certain relationships, certain benefits, blessings, and privileges. It can be very painful. But I want you to understand that there's an assurance that God is giving us, that what we lose, we will gain back 100-fold. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ, before he was highly elevated, one of the things we see about him was that he was prepared to lose his position, his privileges. My question to ask this morning is this: do we really want God to lift us up? If the answer is yes, are we prepared to lose what we must lose? Lose your position. Lose your rights. Lose your privileges. You see, the reason why sometimes businesses don't work is because the owners of the business, they don't know how to deprive themselves of certain blessings and of certain privileges. When the business is at a certain stage, you must understand that for that business to progress and do better, there are certain benefits that you cannot enjoy now. You have to deny yourself of that. You have to lose those benefits and privileges. The fact that you are CEO of your business doesn't mean that you should go and buy a certain kind of car where all the capital of the business is going into buying the car. Why? Because you've seen that your colleagues, your friends, they have this business, they are driving this kind. Have you been doing the business as long as they have? A good king is a king who knows the right time to eat and to enjoy. And unfortunately, we don't see that with most African leaders. They don't know how to deny themselves of certain blessings and benefits and wait for a better season to take those benefits. So the economies of their countries are going down. But whatever benefits that they feel they are owed, they want to take them by
us.
So they'll say to the rest of us, tighten your belts. But their belts are loose. And their stomachs are becoming bigger. Do you see? So they are asking us to tighten our belts, but they seem to be enjoying The family members are enjoying. Their children are in school outside. Meanwhile, they've messed up our education system. Playing games with the education system. And I hope that when another government comes into power, they won't set us years back by changing what we have struggled to establish. The experiments are a lot. And our children have been used as guinea pigs for too long. What's the exams that you should be using 3 years to prepare for? Now you are using 2 years and some months to prepare for it. Why? And stress. Our children are stressed out. It's like going to school is a punishment. No, it ain't right. Look into the face of your neighbor and tell your neighbor, that ain't right. I'm talking about knowing how to lose privileges. Or blessings. Opportunities. Certain rights. Look, if you really want to serve God in a certain way, one of the things you should be prepared to lose is your reputation and your dignity. The Bible says that a good name is better than riches. It is very, very true. But I tell you that working with God at a certain level, you will meet a lot of things. You will experience a lot of accusations, a lot of attacks, and you will have to endure things that if you were not walking on that path, you would never have experienced. If you are somebody who is interested in keeping a certain image of yourself,
so you'll be
God can never use you. If you are somebody who always want people to say good things about you, there's a certain level you can never walk with. Even Jesus Christ, who was spotless and sinless, what did they not say about him? What did they not say about him? So I'm explaining something to you. Working with God, serving him, following him, it comes sometimes with losing reputation, losing dignity. There are things that I have been through that possibly I would never have experienced them if I had stayed as an electrical engineer. Yeah. There are certain battles I've had to fight. If I was just doing my electrical engineering, working for ECG, and you insulting me every time the light goes off, even that one cry, it comes with issues. Charlie, let me take my own like that. Because even me, I was insulting them yesterday. I don't understand what they are doing with the electricity. Like somebody explained, they are giving us the electricity like the way you pour out akpeteshi, tot. Jekakra, ne aje yade. Jekakra, ne aje yade. Jekakra, ne aje yade. So we came up with the name Doomso. Do you see? Now we are being told that it's not Doomso. It is Doomward.
Doomsi.
And we are being told that there's no load shedding going on. So if the light goes off, we should go and ask the ECG people. Sometimes it's like we are little stupid, silly children, and you can tell us anything that you want to tell us. It's fantastic. Let me get back to my sermon before I end up saying certain things that I shouldn't say. Somebody say, Pastor, control yourself. I am controlling myself. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about losing to gain. That to get to that place where God will lift you up, you would have to lose certain things. Number three, stepping into divine elevation, we must embrace Humility. We must embrace humility. So in Philippians 2, 7-8, speaking about Jesus, it says, instead he gave up his divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave. A slave is a servant, attendant, a man of who does menial things. A servant is somebody who gives up himself up to another person's will. A servant is somebody who is devoted to another to the disregard of his or her own interests. And the Bible says Jesus took the humble position of a slave, all of the things that I mentioned. And he was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. So one of the things you see about Jesus Christ is that he embraced humility. He didn't fight it. He didn't struggle with it. He humbled himself and God highly elevated him. If he is the one we are following, then we have to walk the path of humility. To be humble means to lower yourself in terms of importance or in terms of your dignity. You lower yourself. To be humble means to have a low estimate of your own merits and importance. If you are humble, you are manageable. You can be managed. Without being humble, nobody can manage you. If you are humble, you are simple. You are not complex. You don't have airs around you. When you are humble, you are submissive. And you are yielding. You're yielding. It means that you can be you can be managed, you can be guided, you can be directed. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ was all of this because he had to humble himself to carry out the Father's wishes. He and the Father are one, together with the Holy Spirit. But for him to carry out the redemption plan, he had to humble himself, take the form of a slave, become human, and humble himself and go through that death on the cross. So Jesus Christ humbled himself, and the result of that is his divine elevation. It means that we cannot be highly elevated in this life until we walk the path of humility. And the reason why sometimes things don't work out for us in life is that we are not humble. And we feel that there are certain things that are beneath us. We feel that there are certain things that we cannot do. That it is demeaning for us to do certain things. That's why sometimes we don't have jobs. Because you feel that you are above certain things. And that's a wrong mind to have. Sometimes people feel that because I occupy a certain position in life, I cannot do certain things. Certain menial things. Your mother has been selling kinky to see you through school. You are saying that I cannot sell kinky. Your mother has been organizing Agbelikaklo. It is the Agbelikaklo. kakro le fe and the coconut that has paid your school fees and senior to
the
your mother says that take the umbilical cloth round and sell it and say, hey, umbilical cloth, 5 cities, umbilical cloth, lafima. You are saying that I cannot do it. It is shameful. And you can see how your mother is struggling. You don't want to help her. You see, the mistake that a lot of us make, when you see somebody occupying a certain position in life, it is very easy to conclude that he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. There are some like that. But many people who occupy high positions in life, if you get into the stories of their lives, you will hear things that will shock you. Things they've had to go through, the price they have had to pay, the struggles, the menial things they've had to do in order to get to where they are. When you see us standing here like this, and you know what we've done before, do you know what we have gone through and done before to get to where we are? Have no idea. Have no idea. Become laborers. Mixing mortar and concrete. 12 years, 13 years old. Carrying in a head pan on our heads and climbing ladders to build somebody's house.
Now what the concrete in a small defraction here, I could see papa fee, and papa diambo.
Employed by somebody to make, you know, these rope twines and to weave them round balls. So you have a stick and you have the rope and you're weaving it. I've forgotten what we even call it. Weave it into and do that morning till evening and you are paid at the end of the day. Farming, an onion farming, maize farming, coconut farming, cabbage farming. Sweet potato farming.
I've
done all of those things. You say you? Yes, me. So what were you saying the other time? That there are some things that you cannot do. You see, it's those things that you say that makes me want to insult you. My wife is begging me, says I should control myself. And there are jobs out there for you to do, young man. It's just that a certain attitude has to change. You are too high-minded. That's a problem. You are too highly minded. And when you are like that, God can't lift you up. It says, humble yourself therefore in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you. There is a lifting up happening in somebody's life.
Amen.
From today. Hallelujah. I heard a man of God tell this story. He went for a program in Bishop David Oyedepo's church. And he went to use the bathroom or the restroom. Now, he has a habit of, after using the place, he will clean up. So if he spilled water, he will clean up, take tissue, clean up, make sure the toilet seat is clean, there are no droppings on the floor and all of that.
Sa also for you be as oba waja na bia na obeye ne hu ye wi a ono be se se wanza na ko.
Many of us, we don't know how to do those things. When you go to the restroom and you come out, mewo, and some of us, I don't know what it is exactly that we eat. I'm saying something very, very seriously, so nobody should intimidate me. I said, I don't know exactly what it is that we eat. But when we use that room and we come out, it cannot compare with the missiles of Israel and Iran. Then you mess up the place. The other day I went to a certain office. I said I wanted to use the restroom. When I walked into the room and looked into the toilet bowl, I asked myself, was it a cow? Was it a cow that came here? Or a horse? I was so flash here. Oh, flash here. It was not easy for me. My wee wee was coming. So I had to keep my eyes straight because I flash and flash and flash. Opana said, I shan't go. And I wasn't sure other things also. So I had to quickly finish my assignment and walk out. Anyway, how did I even end up in that? I'm trying to spoil the sermon. I come back to what I was saying. He said after he used the washroom and he cleaned up, there was a gentleman waiting for him to finish. When he walked out, the guy walked in. And the guy saw that he has cleaned the place up. And he came out and he said, "Sir, why did you clean up the place? It's my work. This is what God is going to look at to bless me. You are depriving me of my blessing. Please don't do this again. That's the reason why I and others like me are here." And the pastor was surprised, because he's never heard anything like that before. He was shocked when he found out later on that this gentleman was the managing director of one of the top Nigerian banks. Not some 2x4 savings and loan firm. Yeah. I say a bank that is working, that has money. He is the managing director of that bank. And he's just his assignment in the church is to clean toilets. That's his assignment. Managing director.
Yeah, managing director.
What are you? Look into the face of your neighbor and tell the person, "Excuse me. If you don't ask, I'll come to you." Ask her. Say to her, "Excuse me. Who exactly are you that you say certain things are below you?" And then tell the person, Put your hands together for Jesus. Stepping into divine promotion. Stepping into divine elevation. How many do you have? Number four, we must work hard to obey God. Let's finish. Because Jesus walked in obedience. To obey means to comply with or follow the commands, the restrictions, the wishes, or the instructions of somebody.
Obedience
And one of the things that Jesus did, he walked in obedience. And you and I also, if we are going to experience divine elevation, we must work hard to obey God. And there's a reason why I have captioned it in that way. Because sometimes it's not easy to obey God. But I'll tell you this. It is more costly not to obey him. And that is why we must strive to obey him at all times. So in Philippians 2 verse 8, it says of Jesus, he humbled himself in obedience to God. He humbled himself in obedience to God. Obedience comes at a price sometimes. And you may go through sufferings in order to obey. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. He learned obedience from the things he suffered. Another way of understanding this is that sometimes you go through a lot of suffering in order to be able to walk in obedience. But if you pay that price, God will elevate you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we want to strive and do our best to obey God, to do what he says we should do, to strive to walk in obedience. So he says in Isaiah 1 verse 19, if we are willing and obedient, we will eat of the good of the land. King James Version. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good the land. So it's one of the steps that we have to follow. If we are following Jesus into divine elevation, then we must walk in obedience. Number 5, we must determine to submit to God and his will for us. To step into divine elevation, we must determine to submit to God and his will for us. That was what Jesus Christ did. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26 verse 39, the Bible says he went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. I want to do what you want. John chapter 4 verse 34. Then Jesus explained. John 4:34. Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God, who sent me, and from finishing his work. So Jesus submitted to and was committed to doing the will of God. He prayed and said, not my will, but your will be done. The best place for all of us to be in is in the will of God, particularly the perfect will of God. Where is the best place for the fish to be? In what? Or soup? Is the best place for the fish to be in the soup or in the water? In the water. Because that's where it can thrive and flourish. For you and I, the best place for us to be is in the perfect will of God. And when we yield to God's will, he will lift us up. May we get to the point of saying, not my will, Father, but your will be done. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Last but one, we must persevere and not give up. We must persevere and not give up. Luke 9 verse 51. We see this of Jesus. Luke 9:51. As the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven. And that means to go to the cross and go through all of that before he finally goes back to heaven. The Bible says Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He resolutely set out for
Jerusalem.
He was determined to go through with the Father's agenda. He knew it was going to come at a great cost to himself. And he was going to go through a lot of suffering, shame, rejection, insults, betrayal, accusations, and all kinds of attacks. But he persevered and decided that I'll go through with this. When he was on the cross, the people were walking by, were insulting him, saying all kinds of horrible things. If you are the Son of God, come down right now so that we believe in you. If it was you, what would you have done? What would you have done? I'll come down. I will say that, but what nonsense is this? I'm dying for you. You are the reason why I'm going through all of this. And you, the person that I'm dying for, you are insulting me. You are insulting me. It's okay. I'll do it again. It's like when you are playing football.
I say, oh, ball.
And it's not going well.
And
the ball is for you. What do you do? You catch the ball.
Watch a ball.
Put it under your armpits. And say, ball, that's it. He could have decided that I won't go through with
this
again. But he was determined. He persevered. And he did not give up. And because of that, as one of the things that he did, he was highly elevated. May you endure everything that you need to endure in order to get to the top in this life.
Amen.
And finally, we must avoid shortcuts. We must avoid shortcuts. What do they say about shortcuts? Shortcuts are dangerous. The Bible says that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:12, I think. You know, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Shortcuts can lead us to a very bad place in life. Jesus had an opportunity to take a shortcut. Do you remember when the devil tempted him in Matthew chapter 4? It was a temptation to take a shortcut. In one of the temptations, the devil took him to the top, to the highest point or pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, throw yourself down. After all, God said that when you do that, he will give his angels charge against you and you will not dash your foot against the stone. It was a temptation to take a shortcut. Because can you imagine the people will be in the temple, then they'll see that Jesus is falling, then angels appeared. By all means, they'll believe in him. Hey, so it was a shortcut. Jesus said that I will not put the Lord my God to the test. But then the final temptation was classic. He took him to the top of a very high mountain. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. It is because of the kingdoms of the world that Jesus came. He wanted to take back what the devil had stolen. And now the devil was flaunting them before the Lord. And he said to him, all these things have been given to me. They are for me. And I give it to whoever I wish. If you like, I'll give them to you. Just bow down and worship me. It was like, avoid the cross. Avoid the pain. Avoid the suffering. Just bow down and worship me. And what you came for, you can have it one touch.
And Jesus insulted him. He said, go with you. I won't do this. Now, it's only God that I'm supposed to bow down before and worship. It was a shortcut that was presented to him. But he knew that it will not fulfill God's purpose. Many people in life are looking for shortcuts to succeed. They want to avoid the pain. They want to avoid paying a certain price. The heights which great men have reached and kept, they did not attain by sudden flight. It doesn't. Today's generation, we want a quick fix to everything. Yeah. Soft life. Easy life. You see, because we have all these electrical gadgets that make things easy for us. Microwave.
Rice cooker.
Air fryer. Dishwasher. Washing machine. Blender. First, if you are grinding pepper, there is a stone. There's another stone that you are using to grind. By the time you finish, the back of your hand, it is burning. Some of us, that's why our hands are not nice up to today. It is what we have seen some before. Because of some of these technological advancements, people go through life and expecting that everything has to be easy, rosy. So the young men of today, they want to do betting. The young men of today. Why are the young men laughing like that? I am dialing some numbers. Pardon? Over 1.5. What is that one? They are into internet fraud.
Internet fraud.
Scam.
Sakawa.
You are written to a 78 woman, white woman in New Orleans, United States of America. Promising her all kinds of things. It's called romance scam. That you are going to marry her. Abrewana. Nancy and Kra. Oh, so. And there are young men who are prepared to marry people like that for money. Can you look for the next young man sitting by you?
Abranti or Tunchen.
And say, Chale Padi.
I say, Abranti.
How be? Why, the pastor, they dial your number or something. Because at the season, your face, they look some kind of way. Look, let's avoid the shortcuts. Let's stay focused. Let's follow God. Let's follow the word of God. He will bring us to a good place. Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of this teaching on becoming more like Jesus, stepping into divine elevation. Rise to your feet and let us close. God bless you, my friends. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. We are grateful for everything we've heard. We thank you for all the wonderful things we have discovered about how we can be divinely elevated in this life. We believe that that is your plan for us and that is your agenda for our lives. And Father, we pray, may these truths that we have received guide and direct us. May we follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our perfect example. May we follow the steps he took, so that we can experience the blessing, the elevation, the promotion that he experienced. I give you thanks and praise. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us, Spirit of God. Help us to develop good attitudes. Help us to lose what we have to lose. Help us to walk in humility. Help us to submit to the will of God. Help us to walk in obedience. Help us Help us, Holy Spirit, to avoid the shortcuts. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you are not born again. You don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Being born again means you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. You believe that he is the Son of God, and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord and his King. If you do this with your heart, the Bible says you will be saved. That means you will be born again. There's an opportunity for you to experience this wonderful life-changing thing. But I want to pray with you. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Please lift up your hand wherever you are, and I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. If you're watching us and you need Jesus as your Lord, lift up your hand as well, and I'll pray this prayer with me. Let everybody join in. Say, dear Lord Jesus, today I humble myself. I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you. I will live for you. Change my life. Make me brand new. In Jesus' mighty name. Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.